Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, along with Bill the Producer and Bubble Boy, Jimmy. We sometimes call him as well. After our 4th of July, broadcast extravaganza, so we thought it would be. But Bill is back in the studio after last week's debacle. And I don't know,
Debacle's strong. Debacle is strong.
I don't know how you can show your face in here, Bill.
Here's the thing. It went almost exactly the way I thought it would go.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, let's run a replay of the world's first underwater fireworks display that we executed last week right here live on Scuba Radio. All right, there it starts, the wick. And it shorts out. Yeah. Every time I listen back to this, Bill, I'm more and more depressed. The crowd is
Tell you a little tiny bit about this?
Okay. But you were the only one on site, so I blame you 100%.
I understand why you're blaming me, but I think I said there has to be a way to keep the fire going when it gets into the water.
Waterproof fireworks wicks or whatever. That's what you were supposed to use.
You gave me everything. You gave me the lighter. You gave me the fireworks. You gave me the wicks. Everything was there. It was put it in the water, light it on fire. That's what you said.
Yeah.
You said, put it in the water, light it on fire. So what did I do? I took it, I put it in the water, I lit it on fire.
And then it quickly shorted out and depressed everybody. Way to bring us all down, Bill. Anyway, let's move on to more maybe uplifting things. And I'll tell you what, this is kind of cool. Because the person we have on the air right now actually was with me on Scuba Radio in the very beginning. I think we met Megan, I don't know, literally in the first year or two of doing Scuba Radio almost 17, 18 years ago. And Megan Heaney Greer is her name. She is on Scuba Radio once again right now. Megan, how are you? And welcome.
Thank you. I'm doing very well. How are you guys?
Yes. Well, you know, I have a feeling your appearance is going to have more bang than what our underwater fireworks debacle was last week for the 4th of July. So I appreciate you bailing us out there, okay?
Well, I hope so from the sounds of it. But I got to tell you, one of the guys that's on the show with me, Cap Keith Plaskett, Cappy we call him, he could probably help you guys out with the underwater explosives.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he could. Now, here's the thing. You don't think that we're professionals here, Megan. It turns out we have actually pulled audio from the very first time you were on with Greg.
Uh-oh.
at the beginning when he started. So
really?
Yeah. So as soon as you're ready, Greg, just go ahead and push the button.
I'm not sure if I can find it, but let me see. Let's see. I know.
Oh, hi. Hi, Mr. Holt. It's nice for you to have me on here. I'm 8 years old, and no. I'm a great diver. I love diving.
No. Here it is. Whoa, see? Well, Nessa, I went back to you. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway,
you had Megan on 18 years ago.
Right, exactly.
She's only like 30. How old was she when she got on the show the first time?
Oh, barely talking.
Yes. Exactly.
That's what I was thinking. Holy cow.
You know, but I'll tell you, she's held up well. If you look at this new show, Treasure Quest, which debuts July 17th on Discovery Channel, 10 p.m., I believe, Eastern Time, if I got it right here, Megan. It looks really cool. I was very fortunate enough. The folks at Discovery hooked us up with a pre-screener of the episode that will air and kick off this series. I got to tell you, I think you got a big hit on your hands, Megan. This is a very, very cool show.
Well, that is really good to hear. Good feedback. Thank you so much. And you're definitely lucky because I haven't even gotten to see it yet.
Oh,
so
really?
It's great to hear that coming from here. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, you know what? I was surprised by how much nudity there was. I'll be honest.
Right. Exactly. It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. It's
naked sharks.
They're going to break records now, Bill. And thank you for that.
No, I do what I can.
Megan Heaney-Greer is our guest. And she is, you know, she's been quite a star in the diving industry for many years, especially back in the early days of Scuba Radio, for breaking world record free diving marks. I mean, what was it? 155 feet static air or something? Or I don't know. It was crazy.
Right,
insane.
Right. Well, yeah, and I'd love to claim the world, but it was I established the first ever U.S. free dive record for men and women in the U.S. in the constant weight category.
All right. Well, in my mind, it's the world. So, but what USA?
Well, hey, you know
USA.
That works.
Yeah, exactly. But then you kind of got out of the whole modeling and TV thing world for a while.
Well, because she's no longer attractive, let's be honest.
Yeah, well, yeah, sure. Yeah, yeah, really.
Exactly. You know, it's just like after a certain point. No, I actually, so I took a break from my other work to go back to school. I went to CU in Boulder, Colorado. Mm-hmm. And
you said,
all right,
if I have to keep seeing Greg, I'm no longer doing any performance whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, you got a degree in marine biology, went to school, got married, got the family thing going.
And then I had a baby.
Right.
I have a little 2-year-old. And now, you know, I'm back out on adventures. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. So Discovery Channel, well, I don't know how this happened exactly, but you had a production team and knew some guys from back in the day, and they said, we need someone with water experience to participate in this idea of a show to go find treasure in Brazil. And I'll let you take it from there, Megan. How did this come to be, and how did this adventure, you know, how was it pitched to you in the beginning?
Sure. Well, yeah, so actually, Court Graham, our team leader, he's the one who got in touch with me and the rest of the team, and he was interested in kind of my expedition-based background along with my dive expertise and my degree in anthropology and archaeology studies because of the different historical components involved here with the Treasure of the Trinity. And so that's how it came about, and there was about 6 months of talking and back and forth and organizing and you know, in the very beginning, kind of interviewing and getting to know Cork and some of the team members a little better just over social media and in, you know, phone calls and stuff like that. And then, 6 months later, I was getting my passport checked on my way to Brazil. So
wow.
It kind of came together fast.
Yeah, and evidently we got some kind of like flute music going behind you, I guess. I guess that's to set the Brazilian mood, maybe.
I hear that, yeah.
Well, does your daughter have a recorder?
But that's okay. We'll work with it. But, I mean,
maybe
basically
it's my daughter with a recorder. Hold on.
You know, these guys called you up and said, we have this idea that we know where this treasure is in Brazil, but it's on this island called Snake Island that is like what the most inhabited island of snakes or venomous snakes in the world or something crazy like that. Is that the deal, Megan, or what?
Yeah, it's definitely called Snake Island for a reason. So
yeah.
I've been told that if you were to lay out the population of snakes in even disbursement over the island, there would be one snake, one venomous deadly snake per square meter, which is a lot of snakes.
Yeah.
So at the very beginning, though, you know, treasure hunters, just by nature, they tend to, you know, keep their information and play their cards pretty close to the vest. So Cork wasn't really super forthcoming in the beginning with his theories and stuff like that. I did hear about Snake Island, so I knew what I was getting into, you know. And,
well, that's what I wondered. I wondered if you knew about this before you signed on to do the project, because when, you know, you see the expression when you guys are going having some meetings as part of the first segment or two of the show, and it does look like you're a little startled, like, what? We could, what's on this island? What are you kidding me?
Yeah, so something I was surprised with is I thought there was helicopter evacuation, and we get down there, and it was like, oh, surprise, by the way, if you get bitten, yeah, you have to take, like, the slow boat to China. So to get back.
So it was kind of like one of those
really,
things.
It really was no joke.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was like, look, Megan, if you get bit, we'll suck the venom out of any portion of your body. But if it was the other way around, they were all going to die, I'm guessing. Is that the
case? Right.
Yeah, you know, Treasure Quest is the name of the show, and I have seen an advanced screening. Really, really cool show. And this whole process of filming this this series that debuts on Discovery July 17th was over a couple months of a period or what, Megan? Is that about right? Or
yeah,
what?
close to 3 months we were down there.
Wow. So it was quite an adventure.
By the end of it, we were like a big weird family, you know?
Yeah. And obviously she lived, so we know that much. Not that that's a spoiler, but Megan.
Oh, you know what? They could change that in editing.
Well, true.
They could change that in post. Don't you worry about a thing.
Yeah, she's like bionic now. She has, you know, robotic arms and legs. I don't know. We're going to continue our conversation with Megan on the other side. So stay close. Just getting started on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Attention divers, stay connected while off the grid with the Spot Gen 3 satellite GPS messenger. Right now, get a Spot Gen 3 for half price. The life-saving device any Beyond Boundaries diver needs is 50% off. No matter where you go, the Spot Gen 3 allows you to contact your family, friends, and emergency personnel with just the push of a button. Go to findmespot.com/scuba to learn more and get 50% off. Spot Gen 3, 3,500 rescues and counting.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
If a man swims nude in the ocean, what sea creature might mistake his manhood for food? Jordan.
Shark.
Shark. They're going to play. Jay, let's get after it, man. If a man swims nude in the ocean, what sea creature might mistake his manhood for food?
Mermaid.
Best answer so far, yeah.
I stick with my answer.
I love your answer.
You need to ask different people.
I'm going
to
dream that tonight.
Come on, let's go.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we're diving in right now with Megan Heaney-Greer, who is the star of a new show called Treasure Quest on Discovery Channel. It debuts July 17th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Megan is our... Well, she was our guest. We lost her. Oh, geez. Okay, what are we going to do now?
She probably,
scared another one away.
She was probably late for her flute lesson.
You think that's what
it
was?
That's what it was. I think that was her flute instructor in the background.
Yeah.
Fluting impatiently.
Fluting impatiently. That's what you think
nothing,
it is, huh?
There's nothing worse than an impatient flautist. That has always been one of my long-standing theories. If you go to the Discovery.com page and you do a search for Treasure Quest Snake Island, there are a lot of great facts about Snake Island there. They tried to set up a banana plantation early in the 20th century there, and they tried to kill all the snakes by burning the entire island.
Really?
They failed.
Wow. And they
so 100 years later, there's a snake for every square meter. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Great TV show. Will she live? Will she die? Well, evidently she lives. But that's where she goes to try to find
But these snakes can be sold for thousands and thousands of dollars.
Yeah, okay. If you say so.
That's true.
Maybe they do that.
Because there are biopirates that go to this island, and they round up these golden lancehead snakes.
Yeah.
And they sell them. The golden lancehead has evolved to climb and lurk in trees. Gee whiz.
Yeah. Please
don't
bring that over here.
Because this is the thing. The thing about this snake, it is one of the most venomous snakes on Earth, and there's nothing that eats them on the island, which is why there are so many.
Yeah.
And the only thing that they have to eat are migratory birds.
Hmm. So it's a good place for the winter birds to come in and
no, it's not.
Oh,
no, it's a bad place. That's a bad place.
All you need is a couple of family of rednecks on that island, and they'll eat every snake there.
Yeah. Okay. Apparently there's enough food, though.
I don't think you had any rednecks as part of your crew. Am I right, Megan? Yeah, there were no...
Well, you know, that's questionable.
Yeah, okay.
That's questionable.
All right. Well, yeah, we love rednecks, so they're good for ratings. You want to work some
of
that Duck Dynasty element.
I'm a bit of a redneck
element.
Myself. You know, camouflage is my favorite color after
there
all.
There you go.
So.
That's right. God knows you could benefit from the ratings of Duck Dynasty, so who knows? And look,
right?
It really looks like a great show. And, you know, we talked about this before, so it took about 3 months to shoot this whole process, this adventure, and turn it into this Treasure Quest TV show. How many episodes are there? And is there a culmination to this? Well, I guess you can't give that much out. But is it like a 13-week episode kind of thing or what?
Right. Well, yeah, I can't do any spoiler alerts or I'd be in big trouble. But and you just got to tune in to, you know, to check it out.
Right.
But there's 6 one-hour episodes and it starts this coming Friday.
Okay.
And, you know, it was an epic adventure to live through. And I'm glad I lived through it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm really excited to watch it, and I think it's got a little bit of something for everybody. So we have the, you know, historical components with the treasure, and we have the documentary flair, but we also have the team dynamics of these, you know, five really strong personalities thrown together. We had never worked before together, and I worked together before, and anyway, you know, we have that component, and then there's the, you know, the real dangers that you just man, it's no joke. You know, you just can't make these things up. Those snakes are everywhere, and it was really intense and hair-raising at times for sure. So there's a little bit of something for everybody, and of course, then there's all the water stuff.
Which, right.
You know, we did a ton of diving. Never enough for me, but we did a ton of diving, which was great as well. So
Megan, just so I'm clear, and I see this in the first episode, there is a segment on there about you guys diving and looking at this wreck and that kind of thing. Were you like the diving guru? Obviously free diving for sure, but I guess just scuba diving in general, were you kind of like the safety officer in that regard on the show or as part of the group or what?
Yeah, I mean, I was brought on to the team for my diving expertise and in particular the free diving. Cappy and I were the two that were diving. He's got a very rich aquatic history in dive safety and underwater archaeology and things like that as well. So we were a really good dive buddy team. So we spent a lot of time underwater together. So both of us kind of tackled that. But for free diving, you know, that comes in so handy when you're checking different spots and doing reconnaissance and, you know, the anchor gets stuck, you know, it's an easy thing to toss me in the water. So
very nice. Treasure Quest is the name of the show, and I know you don't want to give any spoilers, and you're talking to us, so I'm assuming you didn't find the treasure. But
I can't say.
Well, did they tell you
confirm nor deny
at the beginning? You know, you kind of knew what you were going after, or got an idea very quickly. I mean, what was the goal? To get filthy rich, or at least have the expedition leader get filthy rich and find something? Or that really wasn't the goal, I'm guessing, right? Or was it?
No, you know, we all had different motivations for being there. For me, with my background in anthropology and archaeology studies and things like that, I mean, really for me, the value is the historical component of it. And I'm a big advocate of, you know, documenting and preserving and being able to publish that stuff and share it with the public. So my main goal was when we were, you know, scouring the ocean floor and things like that, is I really wanted to document properly what was going on so that we could pass that on to the proper teams down in Brazil, because there's a lot of red tape with that as well. So, it's an intricate process.
Right.
The whole thing. But
that all
for me,
sounds
the motivation
great.
Was a historical component.
That sounds perfect, but come on. You know, $1 billion worth of buried treasure someplace on an island, that would be pretty motivational as well, isn't it? Come on.
Oh, yeah. I mean, totally fascinating, right? Yeah. Like, the history of this treasure is just mind-blowing. And so, yeah absolutely. Who wouldn't want to come across that?
Right.
But I didn't...
Yeah.
What?
No, well, yeah, but you didn't want to have that as the main focus. And I'm kidding. I'm joking with Megan. We go way back.
Well, no, of course.
Yeah.
But don't get me wrong. There's what's that country song that just came out? Is like, you know, money can't buy everything, but it can buy a boat.
That's
and,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, hey, I'm not against that, but there's certain ways to have it done, you know, where it's properly done with still preserving and documenting.
Absolutely, Treasure Quest is the name of the show. Once again, July 17th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Discovery Channel. Check it out; you will love this show. A little diving, a little treasure hunting, a little bit of everything for everyone. More coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba. Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, Bill the Producer, Jerry the Diver Guy, and Bubble Boy is here too, but Jerry the Diver Guy has been actually listening in via the web as we spoke with Megan Haney Greer, and he got to see a copy of that first episode as well. Jerry, how'd you like listening in on Megan there? That's kind of nice, huh? You think?
That was super sweet.
And you loved the show. He told me right before we went on the air, he goes, oh, my God, that was great. You weren't exaggerating. Am I right?
I am hooked. I will be watching it.
Yeah, and I don't know, Bubble Boy, you saw it as well, right?
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, so, you know, we're not just saying this. It really is a very, very good show, even though I go way back with Megan, and she's become a friend over the years, and we've stayed in touch, off and on. Despite, you know, restraining
more,
orders
more off.
Here. And,
yeah, more yeah. off. Let's
but
be
but no, she's a great gal. But really, the show is excellent. It's right up there with, like, Deadliest Catch and all these other big budget TV shows Discovery Channel's putting out. It's sad to only hear it's six episodes, but I guess that's what they got out of this.
Here's the thing.
What?
And this is my theory.
What's that?
It's only six episodes because she's going to be in Indiana Jones 5.
Ah, that's, you know what?
She needed a clearer schedule.
You know, it's funny you bring that up because it very much is like that kind of show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's treasure hunting, it's diving, there's snakes, it has a lot of crazy adventure in it,
and
for sure.
This is what I read. Now, I don't know if this is true. This is all rumor online.
Yeah.
I got a lot of 4chan groups that I follow.
Oh, yeah.
She's
4chan?
Yeah. Wheel of Fortune. She's gonna be dating Shia LaBeouf.
Oh.
In Indiana Jones 5, and she's going to take the mantle. He's going to give her the hat at the end of it.
Wow,
that's
pretty sweet.
That's what's going to happen. That's how they're going to move that franchise forward and blow Shia LaBeouf up with high-powered explosives.
Mm. Oh, well,
interesting.
That's worth it right there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we got that to look forward to. Mark your DVRs and all that kind of good stuff. for Treasure Quest on Discovery Channel. We got a Dan tip, and we got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Stay close. We're just getting started.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio, Divers Consumer Tip number 217. One of the many benefits of rebreather certification is the ability to dive without bubbles. So keep in mind, when bubbles do appear when diving with a rebreather, there'll be no hiding the fact that you had seconds on the Mexican omelet at the breakfast buffet.
I fart in your general direction.
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network, with us. And I have a question.
And let's hope I have an answer.
How long can a person dive?
What do you mean? Like an individual dive or dives in a day?
No. I mean, is there an age when it's time to hang up your regulator?
Absolutely not. There really isn't an arbitrary age. As long as you're healthy enough to do it, diving can be a lifelong activity.
But we change as we age. We slow down. Not me, of course. You know, our gear gets heavier. Maybe a few of us get a little heavier, too. But how do we keep going?
It's really all about the art of adaptation.
What does that mean?
Well, I think it means something different for everybody. Adaptation is about knowing yourself, knowing your limitations and your needs as they change over time.
Knowing what works and what doesn't.
Exactly. And the need to adapt is really not exclusive to issues associated with aging. There's not one of us that goes through life without experiencing physical changes of one kind or another. Sometimes it's due to an injury or a medical condition. Sometimes it's just time getting to us. But physical changes are part of the game.
Hence the need to know thyself.
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yes, you have to know yourself before you can know if something is wrong or what kind of adaptation may be required. For example, if you really take stock of yourself, you know what gets sore, what muscles are stronger, which ones are more susceptible to injury, you know, that sort of thing.
Got any suggestions?
Start with asking yourself, how do I feel? And really stop long enough to answer that question. Every pre-dive experience requires you to feel up to the activity before you get in the water. As part of that ritual, regular medical checkups are a really good habit, as well as regular exercise. Not just for overall fitness, but add strength training as well. Also, test yourself from time to time to ensure that you're ready for the more physical elements of diving.
Perhaps swim some laps in the pool.
That's a great way to take stock.
So let's say you take stock and determine that you need to make some changes to your usual diving routine. What kind of adaptations can you make?
Well, it may not be possible for me to answer that question completely, but there are some basic considerations that come to mind. If you're not able to, say, lift a scuba tank, ask someone for help. Let's say if a giant stride just isn't working for you anymore, try another method of entry. If you can't lift your full assembly scuba unit, or if you can't move with it on, think about donning your gear in the water. Needing to adapt isn't a problem or a reason to stop diving. It's only a problem if you let pride get in the way and refuse to do it.
How many times have I heard that one?
Probably as many times as I remind myself.
Yeah, if I had a dollar. It sounds to me like sometimes being kind to yourself and admitting you need to adjust can actually keep you diving instead of ending it.
That's a fact.
So what if you don't know how to adapt?
Remember, knowledge is power. If you find yourself facing a change that may require adaptation, learn more about it. Learn what you can do. Is it a medical condition? Learn about any symptoms that may affect your diving. Do you have to take medications? Know the possible side effects, and again, how they might affect or be affected by diving.
The medics at Dan are a good resource for that, right?
Absolutely. We answer questions about medical conditions and medications all the time. Sometimes we're able to impart all the information needed, and sometimes we're able to connect a diver with a knowledgeable medical professional who can work with them more closely. The important thing is that divers are learning what they need to know to change with the times. And we applaud and encourage that.
Oh, I like applause.
Well, I'll be sure to give the guys a heads up.
Cool. Are there any more common sense adaptations a diver can make?
Sometimes we just need to remember to take it easy and dive within our limitations. And sometimes we just need to slow down from time to time.
And sometimes we just need to slow down.
Sometimes we do. But either way, it's a good time to remember that there is no need to dive in extremes. You shouldn't feel like you have to go deep or stay as long as your profile allows. You do not have to complete a half dozen dives just because you used to. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with taking a longer surface interval between dives. Time spent topside can be just as much fun as time spent underwater.
Sounds like if you know yourself and throw a little kindness into the mix, you're on the right track.
You got it.
See? You had the answer.
I try.
You can't stop time, but it doesn't have to stop you either. Remember that change can be good, provided you're willing to change with it. So don't be stubborn. Learn the art of adaptation and keep on going. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
We are back here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Bill has left the building, and that's fine. Because we were kind of annoyed with him anyway, since he screwed up our underwater fireworks display last week for the 4th of July. But Bumble Boy is here, so we have him and also Jerry the Diver Guy. And I don't know, the rumor has it that Scuba Cowboy may be joining us here shortly, so we'll see what he's up to. But, you know, we got to talk a little bit about Shark Week and how things went down last week for the Discovery Channel. Since, you know, I guess we're kind of talking Discovery a little bit this week. And I'll give them, I will definitely give a little tip of the hat to them from the standpoint, from what I saw from Shark Week this year. At least I didn't see any of this Megalodon nonsense in these mockumentaries. And they said they were dropping that nonsense. And I think that was good. And in ratings, evidently, were pretty spectacular for Shark Week, from what I glanced at on the web this week. So but I got to say, I didn't watch all the shows. I watched definitely the first night on Sunday night. And that first show, I think it was called Shark Track or something like that, actually featured some footage from our buddy Fraser Nivens down in the Florida Keys. I thought that was a pretty good show. I don't know, Jerry the Diver Guy, what do you think? You were watching Shark Week this week, right? Yeah?
Well, my hat is off to them. They did better this year.
Yeah.
I will give them that.
Yeah. There's still room for improvement, though, I would think. You think?
A lot of improvement.
Now, what was it that caught your eye that you thought, well, you know, it's kind of annoying or you wish they'd do it differently? What was it?
Well, I myself would like to see more other sharks than just great whites. I love great whites. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But 6-7 years of one jumping out of the water is enough.
Well, that's true.
Just me.
You know, definitely Jaws definitely gets the top billing for Shark Week. And yeah, most of the specials were about great whites and that kind of thing. The second show of Shark Week was in Guadalupe, and they had the Ghost Cage, which, you know, I don't know. I didn't really see the point of that. And that had kind of been done before a little bit as far as having like a plastic or acrylic see-through cage and putting it next to the great white, see how they'd react. And I didn't really see the point of putting the guy in the ghost cage and having him swim next to the sharks. And I don't know, what was the idea? Like, would they come in and try to eat him since they couldn't see he was in a cage?
He's like an underwater weatherman.
Yeah. I didn't really understand the point of that. But, you know, hey, you got to mix up some of the sensationalistic type stuff. And so I understand, you know, they got to make it somewhat exciting, I guess. And maybe that's where that kind of falls in. But it was kind of cool to see that show because that's exactly where I was when I went and dove with great whites in Guadalupe. And it was kind of cool to see the whole area. I thought they filmed it pretty well as far as giving people an idea of what it looks like in that part of the world where these great whites converge. So, you know, yeah, but I guess maybe after 5 or 10 great white shows, maybe it is time to branch out. I don't know. What would you? They did have one on Mako's, I thought was okay, that I saw.
That was good.
Yeah, but so you would just like to see.
I also like the Cuba one.
There's one in Cuba. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, yeah. I missed that one.
It was pretty good.
Interesting.
You know, it showed them that, you know, actually Cuba has actually took care of the sharks here lately. So, you know, it showed them flourishing and you know, the quality of the water was still, it looked good. So,
yeah. Well, you know,
everything's looking good down there.
Now, here's the thing about Cuba, and we could talk a little bit about that. We were actually talking about this on one of our other shows last week because, you know, the restrictions to travel to Cuba have been lifted pretty much, and you can pretty much go there if you want to go to Cuba now and check out their diving offerings. And the thing is, what I have heard over the last few years in particular is that their reefs and their marine life are spectacular. Because the people that live there can't afford to do anything. So they don't have boats. They don't go out. You don't have.
We must go, Greg.
Anchor damage or anything like that. So the reefs and everything. And even Fidel is actually known kind of in circles as a pretty extreme environmentalist. Or, you know, from the standpoint of like, don't go there. We'll kill you. You know, I don't know. It's one or the other, and that's could be good for the reef, maybe. There's a plus side to everything. Is that how it works? I don't know. All right, more coming up. Stay close.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving, flying, and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving, flying, and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why I wanted to tell you about Nanook Professional Protective Cases. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive Power Claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook cases generally cost less than similar products currently on the market. From an iPhone to a full set of dive gear, whatever you need to shield from the elements, Nanook Professional Protective Cases has the size, shape, and color for you. Go to Nanook.com. That's Nanook.com for Nanook Professional Protective Cases. The evolution of protection.
Where will you be on July 18th? If you love diving, consider joining Patty and dive centers around the world for Women's Dive Day, a special day to celebrate female divers and their contributions to the sport of scuba diving. To find a local dive or event, visit patty.com/women-dive. That's PADI.com/women-dive. Not scuba certified yet? Now's the perfect time to get your Patty certification and get prepared for this special day. Mark your calendars. Patty Women's Dive Day, July 18th.
If you like the show you are listening to right now, you can listen to it and many more just like it on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Fishing, hunting, boating, and the rest of the great outdoors, 24/7, 365 on Reno Viola Outdoors Radio. Download the free Reno Viola's Outdoor Radio app or visit WRVORadio.com online to see the lineup and schedule. That's Reno Viola Outdoors Radio, and enjoy the great outdoors.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Ariel, you're under a lot of pressure down here.
Scuba diver in the lock.
Man, I wish I could really drive this thing.
Speedboat driver on the dock.
We're here. Okay, turn on the ignition.
Sailplane pilot in the blue. Take me up there with you. The world looks brighter from this high altitude.
Awesome.
There are sailboats throughout this brilliant sky, but you cannot pick them out if you can't fly. I'm glad the earth doesn't care if I go up there. If you want to, just ask me and I'll take you along.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Yeah, you know, we got this boating show. We got a flying airplane show. We do a little bit of everything. And it actually is going to be covered, all three, a little bit, in this new book that Eric Douglas is writing called The Lionfish. And we're going to talk about it next week on The Big Show. But I'm pretty excited about this because Eric has written a story for his Winthrow Key series that incorporates the crew from Scuba Radio. And I get to fly a plane and do a stepping sidekick to take out a villain. It's pretty sweet, man. I got to tell you.
Again, this is fiction, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, what do you mean? It could happen. It could happen. But look, we're talking a little bit about Shark Week right now and how sharks are being portrayed on Shark Week, as well as diving in general and how Shark Week affects the dive industry and, keeps people out of the water, which we don't want to happen. But a little bit of that is going to happen regardless. And it was really getting bad last few years when Discovery Channel was putting out these mockumentaries on Shark Week where they were basically acting like Megalodon was still out there and sharks were stalking, swimmers or whatever, just like the movie Jaws. But they were presenting it as like a documentary with fake scientists and all kinds of stuff. And people were falling for it. I mean, I watched it. I was impressed with the production quality of those shows. And thank God they put a halt to it, because they did not do it this year on Shark Week. Bubble Boy?
Yeah, Greg. Well, predominantly, most of the people that on these shows are, they're on the surface. They're bathing, whatever. I think it's more incentive for people to stop bathing in the water and just put on some scuba gear and go down 36 feet. You'll be fine.
Well, we have too many surfers. That's a given. And so look at it from that standpoint, that if you don't want to be bit by a shark, scuba dive. Don't surf. We don't care about the surfers. We're not the world's first radio show devoted to surfing. We're the world's first radio show devoted to diving. So, no, I kid. But it's good at least to see they've done that much. Now, I still think there was some sensationalistic stuff on Shark Week, and you're never going to be able to get rid of that. There's always going to be that element to bring people in, but at least they made a step in the right direction. So I'll give them that much. Some of the stuff was interesting that I saw, and I really didn't see that much. But a lot of people did, because it did get for very high ratings from what I saw from the Nielsen ratings that I glanced at, online and stuff. But it'll be interesting to see how it settles down and affects sharks in general. We still have these incidents that have been happening in the news leading up to Shark Week. Now that Shark Week has happened, I haven't heard of any shark incidents. So, obviously the sharks were cooperating with Discovery
they
Channel.
They were paid off.
To help, sell Shark Week accordingly.
No. They actually seen the viral video, Stay Away From The Beach.
Yeah, is that what it is? Maybe that's what it was.
Everybody's seen it.
And so maybe that can cut down on the number of incidents. Who knows? Whatever the case, you got to take it with a grain of salt. And some people are going to be scared of sharks no matter what. I mean, there's a certain folks that just don't believe that you should go in the water. And if you do, you're going to show up on the shark's plate.
Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, no.
Well, yeah, I'm just saying. There's some people that feel that way. But, all right, so Shark Week is one issue as far as how it portrays a shark. But really, it keeps people out of the water, and I don't want that to happen, because we're divers. And, part of diving is obviously enjoying the underwater world to yourself, and maybe that could keep people out of the area and leave it more for us to enjoy. But really, diving is about sharing this activity with others. Would you agree with me there, Jerry, or what? What do you think?
I agree with you 100%.
And we don't want to scare people out of the water. I just had someone who emailed me this week and said we thought we were going to send them into a dive class, and they said, "Oh hell no! I mean, I am terrified to be underwater, and I have a feeling it was because of the shark stuff." Now, I haven't followed up to find out for sure, but that is the kind of stuff we want to avoid. And I think I speak for a lot of people in the dive industry in particular, and fellow divers like the people, like Jerry and Bubble Boy and myself. We're all part of the same community. We don't want to have Shark Week or these type of shows scare people to the point that they wouldn't give diving a try, because it literally can change your life if you do. And I don't know, Jerry,
that's
am I
one
right?
of the questions that I get asked. Well, that's one of the questions I get asked all the time.
Number
am I
one.
Going to get eaten by a shark?
Absolutely. It's the number one question that, we get as dive instructors.
Yeah. Are we going to see a shark? I mean, yeah, you're going to.
You might, if you're lucky.
Not on this dive, but, yeah, I mean, they're there. You just got to find them.
That's right. That's right. But to see them, and you quickly realize it's a very rare occurrence to see the sharks unless you actually go to a place where they're known to reside. Normally you don't see them, unfortunately, and that's the truth. And once you realize that how rare of an opportunity to see a shark, and then you see them in their natural environment, it is pretty awe-inspiring on many levels. All right, look, we got hour two of Scuba Radio on deck. We're going to talk about Bug Fest, the best way to catch your lobsters, loopers or tickling. You know, I do both, but I go both ways, I guess. Is that? No, that's not. Well, anyway, you'll hear about it in an hour or two. Stay close.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.